I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. Glad to have you along on this Friday. The annual fundraising campaign for ArtsWave begins next week. It's the oldest and largest arts fundraising drive in the nation. Part of the campaign will be the Macy's Arts Sampler, 3 Saturdays of free arts events across the region. In the studio to share the impact the arts have in our communities and to preview the arts samplers are Jody Perry, the manager of Impact Fundraising and Communications at ArtsWave, and Krista Skiles, from Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. Thanks for joining me on Cincinnati Edition, Krista.
Thanks for having us.
And Jody.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Jody, I'll begin with you. Please introduce to those who might not know, what is ArtsWave and what does the organization do here in the Cincinnati area?
Well, for those who aren't familiar, ArtsWave is a United Arts Fund. We are the former Fine Arts Fund, and we are a fundraising organization for a lot of the arts groups in town. So one gift to ArtsWave supports actually more than 100 arts organizations, from the big groups like the ballet and the symphony, on down to a lot of the smaller organizations and community-based art centers throughout town.
And this has been going on for quite some time, and I mentioned in my introduction that it is the oldest and largest arts fundraising drive. How did this all begin, and how did it get started here in Cincinnati, of all places?
It's my understanding that it actually started with the TAFs back in 1927. They were the ones who put some money up and kind of challenged the city of Cincinnati to match those funds to support the arts groups in town.
And it caught on from there. I mean, I know there were a handful of arts groups. I mean, you mentioned the ballet and the symphony and the art museum, I believe. You know, there was a handful, but how and when did it start to grow and encompass more and more of all the arts here in the community?
Well, it's definitely grown over the years, and ArtsWave has been through a lot of changes as well. But under the Fine Arts Fund, we have grown and brought in a lot more organizations for support. We started the Arts Services Office, a branch of our organization, which actually goes to show that we do more than just fund these arts groups. We actually try and help along some of the fledgling arts groups in town, bring them together so they can share knowledge with each other. And I will say that I think that Cincinnati is really lucky in the sense that we have a real collaborative spirit between our arts groups. They really root for each other and play well together. And I think that that's something that you don't find in a lot of other cities. It makes Cincinnati unique.
And part of it's reflected in your name, ArtsWave, but there is a ripple effect when it comes to the arts in a community. This is not just raising money for a theater group or a dance group. This is really benefiting the entire citizenry.
Most definitely it is. I mean, we at ArtsWave can definitely see those positive ripple effects in a lot of different ways. I mentioned the community-based art centers earlier. There's more than 30 of them all throughout town now, and we can see positive things happening. People coming together to share ideas and talk after a performance, coming together in ways that they would not have normally. We can see businesses thriving around those community-based art centers. So it's a lot of positivity, and it stems from the arts.
Well, Krista, I'll turn to you and ask, as both a participant in the Arts Sampler weekends and a longtime beneficiary of ArtsWave, from the Playhouse in the Park's perspective, you know, what do you see as the value of ArtsWave here in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, as Jody mentioned, I think it's a lot of things. Certainly the financial support is extraordinarily helpful to an organization like the Playhouse. Just to put it into context, the amount of money that we receive from ArtsWave each year, which is, of course, from all of the members of the community who contribute through the campaign, would fund, for example, all of the actors that people see on Playhouse stages when they come to see the shows. So we could build the sets, we could make the costumes, we could do the rights for the plays, but the money that we get from ArtsWave allows us to pay the actors. That's the kind of impact that you see. And I think people may not understand that ticket sales don't provide all of the income that the theater needs to survive throughout the year. So it's because of the support that we get from ArtsWave that we have a very robust education and outreach program, that we can go into schools and bring plays for kids who might not otherwise have a chance to experience theater, that we can do workshops and bring kids in touch with the artists who helped to put on the plays and show them how theater and the arts connect with the curriculum that they have in their school. We can do things like our Off the Hill program, which brings tours of family shows out into the community arts centers that Jody mentioned. So really, it's that support that ArtsWave provides that allows us to do some of those programs.
I wanted to ask about, you know, Jody was talking about the interaction between the arts organizations, and I know Cincinnati Public Radio has benefited from a relationship with ArtsWave and has benefited from this interaction among the organizations. Kick me your perspective.
No, I mean, Jody's actually absolutely correct. I lived in another area of the country for several years, and one of the things that I was very struck with working in an arts organization there as compared to here is just all of the opportunities that the arts organizations have here to collaborate. And part of that is because of ArtsWave. You know, ArtsWave provides programs that bring the marketing and the development directors together to communicate and talk about what's going on at each of our organizations. We meet regularly throughout the year to do that. And it's through those meetings that you hear, oh, this organization is working on this kind of a project. Maybe that ties in with what we're thinking for our season next year to do this. And you really see some of those kinds of collaborations coming just from the chance, just from the idea that we have this chance to talk and hear what the other groups are doing. But I agree, it's an extraordinarily collaborative community in general for the arts. And that's what's really unique and wonderful about the arts organizations here. To have a city that has a ballet and a symphony and a Tony Award-winning theater, It's really amazing, and I think Cincinnatians recognize that, and that's why they generously contribute to the ArtsWave campaign each year.
Yeah, better to cooperate than be working on the same thing and tapping the same sources. You'll be able to share.
Well, and absolutely. And we believe, and I think this is very true and plays out, that arts attendance spurs more arts attendance. We don't need to compete with the symphony or compete with the ballet. If someone experiences arts events in those areas, they are far more likely to come to the Playhouse as well. So we don't think of it as competition. We think of it as let's get people out of their living rooms. Let's get them away from the TV set. Let's get them out and enjoying the arts in Cincinnati.
We're talking about ArtsWave here on Cincinnati Edition. If you have a comment, have you supported ArtsWave in the past? Have you benefited from the Arts Sampler weekends? Share your stories at 513-419-7100. I wanted to ask it, you know, as an aside, I had Evans Mirages from Cincinnati Opera, the artistic director of the Cincinnati Opera, here on Cincinnati Edition a few weeks ago, talking about his project of Cincinnati Remembering World War I. And he talked about, and I believe this was ArtsWave's kind of influence here, because he had been talking to other organizations. This went from just the opera doing something about World War I and one or two other people being involved too, just this massive community-wide event looking back and remembering how Cincinnati was involved and influenced and influenced World War I. And it's great to see that. It must be, from an ArtsWave perspective, very gratifying to see all that cooperation between Playhouse and the Park and the Opera and all going on.
It's very gratifying to see, absolutely. I mean, ArtsWave focus is to bring people together and create vibrant communities. And when we see and hear real-life examples of that, it's encouraging and great to see.
Well, I mentioned that the fundraising drive, which begins next week, is the oldest and largest fundraising drive in the nation. And part of that drive are the sampler weekends, the Macy's Arts Samplers Weekend. Why do you do this? These sampler weekends? I know this has been going on for a number of years now.
Yes, it has. We are able to bring these sampler weekends to life because of the generosity of Macy's. And the reason we do it is because we like to show people what we do at ArtsWave. We like to have these free arts activities all over town. This year, there's more than 140 different events at 47 different venues throughout the region on these three sampler dates. They're all on Saturdays. The first is coming up on February 8th. And then we have another Macy's Arts Sampler on March 15th. And the third is on April the 12th. It helps us generate excitement for the community campaign, which we're kicking off. Our goal this year is $12 million under the direction of Melanie Healy from Procter & Gamble. She's chairing the campaign. And it's a lofty goal, but our team is ready to work hard, and we know Melanie is as well.
Well, Krista spoke to the, you know, how many individuals around Cincinnati make the contribution
to the Arts Wave campaign last year, raising $11.5 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right.
And it seems that the city, it's been rare that the Arts Wave campaign has not reached its goal. I mean, there were a couple of years it came close. Okay, you're smiling at me, Jody. I know. There were a couple of times it's been hard, but a lot of times it's nearly always successful.
We usually do pull through, and as Krista said earlier, it's thanks to the generosity of the folks in town. We've been the number one United Arts Fund in the country for many years now, and we couldn't do it without folks opening their wallets and supporting. More than half the money we raise is actually from workplace campaigns. So we've got, you know, 300 to 400 companies in town supporting us with internal Arts Wave campaigns. And then we also have a component that's community related, our residential folks who give not because their boss is asking them to, but because they love the arts and they're giving out of the goodness of their hearts.
I'm speaking with Jody Perry. She's the Manager of Impact Fundraising and Communications at ArtsWave, and Krista Skiles from Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. She's the Associate Director of Marketing and Communications. We're talking about the ArtsWave fundraising campaign and the Sampler Weekends, the Macy's Arts Sampler Weekends that begin next Saturday. Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, of course, participating, as is many of the arts organizations around town. You can ask a question or make a statement if you've been to the Arts Sampler by calling 513-419-7100. Sean from Clifton is on the phone. You're on Cincinnati Edition, Sean.
Hi, I just wanted to call in as a longtime supporter of Arts Wave, just to say, I mean, it really is one of the great benefits of living in this city and actually in the entire region, because obviously, aside from all the large organizations, Playhouse, Opera, Symphony, Ballet that they support, all the ones in the community too, the, you know, whether it's the Madcap Puppets or the Clifton Cultural Arts Center, which is the area we live in, and we attend a lot of the events there, or the Covedale over on the west side. There's so many great opportunities around the region to go and see the arts because of Arts Wave. So to just say a thank you to everyone who does so much work on behalf of Arts Wave.
Well, thank you, Sean. I appreciate those comments. And I have to say, you know, Cincinnati does have just an amazing arts and culture scene here. One of our, you know, I want to call it a hidden gem, but I think a lot of people know about it. And it's very satisfying to know that folks like Sean and people beyond really, really do enjoy the benefit of ArtsWave. I had an email from Leela in Batavia. She was asking why the Arts Sampler weekends are now spread out one a month and only one day instead of being a weekend across a series of weeks. She's asking about the separation, because I believe it's been a couple of years now that you've been doing Saturday in February, one in March, another in April. Where before you had both a Saturday and a Sunday filled with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of events in many places around town. Why and how did that change? What was the ArtsWave approach?
That's a very good question. The reason there are a couple different reasons why we decided to spread it out. We wanted folks to have several different opportunities to get out and enjoy the arts and to have it on that one weekend in February. You know, it's a tough time of year weather-wise, and we actually got really lucky for a lot of years. I can only remember one year in my history where there was so much ice that we really had to cancel Sampler. But it's nice to have several different Saturdays so folks have different chances to come out and support the arts. It helps us continue the excitement throughout the 12-week campaign, and it just gives people more chances to get out and have some fun.
One of the things that's kind of nice about the way it's organized now as well is that they try to coordinate so that organizations in the same area of town have their Sampler activities on the same day. So, for example, on February 8th, when the Playhouse is participating in Sampler, that is also the time when the Cincinnati Art Museum is participating. So you can come up to Mount Adams and catch the events that are going on at the Playhouse and then head just right down the hill, right across the way to the Art Museum and catch all of the events there. And I think that's been one of the great things about the change is that when we used to do Sampler over the one weekend, as Jody mentioned, you sort of ended up competing with where you're going to spend your time. And you would see people, you know, with this elaborate schedule trying to figure out how to get here and how to get here,
right.
Which now you can just download the app, which is really very, very cool on your smartphone and plan. It'll plan out your Sampler schedule for you, which is amazing. But now you don't have to make all of those tough choices. You can come out in February and experience all of the things that are going on at the Playhouse and at the Art Museum, and then you come later and you go to the Symphony. So it really does give people the opportunity to do more, which I think is great.
I will second that, because I know in the previous model of the Sampler Weekend, it was, you know, trying to look at the whole schedule and say, how am I going to be here in Clifton and then up in Wyoming to go to the Wyoming Center for the Arts and then back to, you know, down in, well, you know, it was a little bit. So it is nice. Well, let's talk with the first Macy's Art Sampler Weekend is February 8th. You mentioned that, Jody, already. And what will be happening on February 8th? What is the first weekend going to be filled with?
The first weekend, he has a lot of different things going on. There are activities at the Art Museum. I know that Madcap Puppets is going to have some performances in the theater. Those are always extremely popular, so we know if families want to take their kids to the Madcap show, make sure you get there early prior to those performances. In addition to that, there are some great things happening at Playhouse that I'll let Krista expand on.
I was going to ask Krista. You already mentioned that the Playhouse is going to be participating on February 8th.
Yes.
What's happening there?
That's right. Well, we have several things happening that are a lot of opportunity for people to get a behind-the-scenes look at what happens at the Playhouse. So we do our backstage tours, both at the theater in Mount Adams. We do those in the morning, 9, 9:30, 10, and then early afternoon, 12:30 and 1. And it's a 30-minute backstage tour that takes you underneath the stage of the Marx Theater and into our costume and wardrobe area, and also lets you see the dressing room area, which is really fun, and people enjoy that. We also have creative dramatics sessions for children, so we lead them in sort of an example of theater games, the kind of things that they might do at our summer camp or something like that. And those are ongoing, so people can sort of jump in and out at any time, depending on how long they do or don't want to participate. And then, you know, schedule that so that they maybe start with a tour and then end up with the theater games or vice versa. We also have a free performance of our Off the Hill family show, Joan the Girl of Arc. This is a world premiere production and what's great about the show is it's really a kind of, it's, while it still tells the great story of Joan and, you know, how she came to stand up for what she believed in and help save her country, it has a real ability to resonate with teens and tweens today, because you see this teenage girl struggling with, how am I going to react to what's happening? How do I take a stand? How can I, you know, everybody's against me participating in this. What do I do? And so it really is, you know, things that on a sort of different level, they are struggling with in their own daily lives. And then we have one of our most popular items, which is our scene shop tour, and that only happens on Sampler. So this is an exclusive opportunity for people to go and get a behind the scenes tour of the scene shop on Gilbert Avenue, where they make all of the sets that you see on the stages at the Playhouse, which may be something that people don't know. You know, as a regional theater, we're not the Broadway series. We're not touring a show from city to city. We make all of the sets and costumes at the Playhouse. And so this is a chance to see how those sets are built. You get to tour the scene shop area, the storage of our costumes and our props, and also the paints area. So you'll get to see what the crew there is working on for shows that are coming up in this next half of our season. And what I love about the tour is I actually take it every single year. Not that I can't go over there, but I take it every year because it's always different based on what they're working on right now. So what they're working on right now is Pride and Prejudice and shows that are coming up in that latter half of our season. And so it's a really fun opportunity. You get to meet people who are staff there working on things, and they'll talk you through sort of the current problem that they're facing this week.
Well, a lot going on with Playhouse, both up on the hill and at the scene shop. Plus, there's events at the Newport on the Levee and the Kennedy Heights Arts Center and the Clovernook Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and a lot of places. You can find out everything that's happening on that February 8th, first Macy's Arts Sampler Day, by downloading the app from ArtsWave. You can link to it through our website, wvxu.org, and we'll also link you to the ArtsWave site and the Playhouse in the Park site, and you can learn more about what's happening in the Sampler, plus Sampler Saturdays on March 15th and April 12th as well. Well, thank you both for being here today. Sorry we're out of time, but a lot of fun happening, and appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As I said, you can find those links at wvxu.org. Jody Perry, Manager Impact Fundraising and Communications at ArtsWave, and Krista Skiles from Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. Thanks for being here. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Technical director for today's show was Kevin Rowinski. Producer was Pete Reitmeyer with help from Kevin Reynolds. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. You can find archives and links for Cincinnati Edition stories from each day of the week at WVXU.org. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend and stay tuned for Science Friday next on 91.7.